Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the PYA Changemaker. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm really pleased to welcome Bill Springer. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, now you probably don't recognize his face. And the reason for that is because he is actually the man responsible for most of the yachting information that goes on and stories that go on for Forbes. He is a senior contributor at Forbes. And as well, you are the owner of Swizzle Sports Media boutique content marketing firm, correct?
That is correct. Yes, indeed.
Did my homework.
Yeah, so,
tell us what an average day for Bill Springer is.
Oh, okay. All right. An average day for Bill Springer. Well, as you know, I write about yachts for Forbes. I actually write about yachts for all sorts of luxury pubs. And with Swizzle Sports Media, I work with lots of yachting clients and things like that. So there's always a lot of stuff going on all the time. With Forbes, I'm always writing Forbes stories. I'm always either sending out interviews or questions or inquiries for interviews. I'm always sort of keeping the Forbes pipeline rolling. I'm communicating with PR people from the various yacht builders and yacht designers, checking social media, of course, posting my own social media, writing about yachts. And then, you know, up until COVID, I was traveling, you know, probably 75% of the time, going to the most exclusive places in the world with the most exclusive people, doing the most exclusive things. And then here I am, old Bill, just sort of showing up, you know, to tell the story. So, the travel hasn't been as much lately, but that hasn't stopped the storytelling in a way. And you probably have noticed this. I mean, the yacht business in particular, it's all about stories. It's all about the image in people's minds of what yachting is, and being able to tell the story, you know, you telling your stories and my telling my stories, and communicating really this, how special yachts are and how special being on a yacht, owning a yacht, chartering a yacht is kind of what blows my hair back on a daily basis. So every day I'm basically sharing the love of yachts and yachting with my audience, with the people that read my stuff. You know,
well, you know, one of the great things about you, Bill, and one that sets you apart from a lot of the others, is the fact that yachting is a love of yours, and you did grow up with
right.
boats and boating, and you, then you went to journalism school, so you combined the two things that you love the most into a career. So,
yeah.
You know, you're very lucky in the fact that you never really work, do you?
No, I never really work, and I work all the time.
Yeah.
So here's the thing that I've learned in my sage old years, you know, but I've learned a few things over the years about what it means to work, what it means to have a career, what it means to be a professional, what it means to have a reputation, and what it means to have relationships in the world. And so I have, I'm very lucky and I'm very grateful to be in the position that I'm in and to be writing about yachts and telling the story about yachts in media that isn't yachting specific. I think this is a really interesting niche for me and something that I'd like to think I really enjoy and I'm trying to get better at all the time. But my goal is to share the love of yachting, share the love of yachts, share the insider information about yachts with people that could probably afford a yacht, but may not necessarily know how cool it is. You know, I mean, people who read Boat International and read the yachting magazines, they know about yachting, you know?
Yeah.
But the people who read Forbes, some of them do, but my guess is most of them would sort of have an idea of what yachts are just from a sort of a stereotypical idea of what yachts and yachting is. And what I hope to do is to show people that yachts and yachting, it isn't just about status. It isn't just about being like P. Diddy on the foredeck with the bling, you know?
Yeah.
It isn't about any of the negative caricatures that people might sort of think about with yachting. I mean, yes, there is elements of that. But my experience and my knowledge of the yachting industry and my goal is to sort of show how amazing it is. Not just from the ability to take a yacht and go to Antarctica, and like have a private whale watch and have, you know, sit in a penguin colony that smells absolutely the worst smell in the world. But it's the most exclusive thing in the world. You know, very few people can go and sit and really experience the smell of a penguin colony filled with 5,000 penguins.
Nice.
And and that's something that I've been really lucky enough to do, and to be able to share all that story, but also sharing the story about what the boat business and what the yachting industry is really like from the people who actually build the yachts and design the yachts. I look at the yachting industry and yachts in particular, the big super yachts, they're like the modern cathedrals of our day, you know? And these billionaires that can afford to sort of have these yachts that are 500-600 million euros to build are kind of like the Medici's bringing in these most amazing craftsmen to build these utterly stunning pieces of art that are inspiring, you know? So to be able to tell that story and also to be able to sort of share the story of how yachts for a lot of yacht owners are about family time. People don't necessarily think about that. I mean, if you're a very high net worth person, a yacht in a way is the most, the easiest way to have a security, to know exactly who you're dealing with, to go to exactly where you want to go and do exactly what you want to do. There's no coincidence that yachting has, the popularity of yachting at the absolute highest level is it going through the roof because for people who can afford it, there's really nothing else like it.
Well, let me ask you, in your years of writing about yachting,
many years,
have you noticed a difference in the type of yacht owner or the type of charter guest? Have you seen a shift in where they want to go, what type of experiences that they're looking for?
Absolutely. You know, there's a bunch of things that, you know, I've noticed. And this is, it's not like I have a corner of the market on this insight. It's actually pretty well known. Just with the popularity of Explorer yachts. So, I mean, the yachting industry and yachts in general used to be like, okay, you go to the Med in the summer, you go to the Caribbean in the winter, you know, you hang out in Saint-Tropez and you stay out too late and you drink too much. And, you know, that was kind of the yachting, which is cool. And there's still a huge element of that. Thank God, you know, but at the same time, people want to actually do stuff with their yachts. They want to have not just a stereotypical yachting experience, but truly a one of a kind experience. And that's the thing that I'm really coming to learn about and really coming to try to capture in words and in my stories is what true exclusivity is. So exclusivity is not a brand name. It's not even being able to get into the poshest club or you fill in the blank sort of material thing. That's not, in my view, that's not what exclusivity is. True exclusivity is being able to do something or being able to be someplace that no one else can go. And that's the magic. And that's what, you know, having a lot of money, frankly, allows people to do by building these yachts that don't just go to Saint-Tropez, but that can go to Antarctica or can go and, you know, with a team of experts, go into the jungles of Papua New Guinea and visit with some of the last sort of truly native people left in the world. You know, I mean, a lot of these yachts are able to go to some of the most, or designed to go to the most remote places on Earth, frankly, because those remote places are becoming fewer and fewer, you know? So, I mean, I guess that would be one of the biggest changes. I mean, the owners, to be honest, I don't interact with the owners as much. I mean, you know, they don't really want to hang out with me. They want to hang out with their friends, which I don't blame them. However, I do interact a lot with the building the boat builders and the yacht designers. And so I can get a feel for what these owners are looking for. And basically that sort of exclusive experience, and oftentimes with their family, would be like the bullet point.
Yeah, I guess that was the question I was going to ask, is that now it tends to, you know, I always say the days are gone of the Greek shipping magnate sitting out in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea surrounded by prostitutes, really. Those days are gone. It is now, you know, more of a younger generation, and they want their families on board. So are you finding that not only boat builders are looking to be more sustainable, but as well more family oriented in the entire layout of that yacht?
Yeah, you know, that's such a good point you bring up about sustainable, because yes, family oriented for sure. And yes, younger as well. But I think it's really important from the interviews that I've had in the last couple of weeks about how building sustainability into everything that the superyacht industry is doing is, it may have started off as a marketing thing, is like, we need to do this in order to sort of justify our existence. But all of these big manufacturers, it's way more than that. I mean, they're not just sort of saying we're green and we're building sustainable, but they're really working to change the entire ecosystem, the entire technological backbone of what makes a superyacht to be sustainable on the 21st century like we've never seen before. I mean, I was just talking with the guys from Vreepak, which is a yacht design firm in Holland, and they're known for doing some pretty intense stuff. And they're working on a concept now with a really passionate owner, guy that wants them to design the boat for him, where it has biodegradable batteries.
Wow.
So like this level of sustainability. So these batteries are truly biodegradable. They're made, I mean, all the science is a little bit much for me. I'm not, you know, the handsomest nor the smartest guy in the room. But basically the gist is that they're working on technology where not only is and it's completely zero carbon usage. So not only are the batteries biodegradable, but they're working on a wind sort of generation system with a kite that flies over the yacht. It's not for propulsion. It's not like the kite is pulling the yacht along, but the kite is flying in an infinite loop and creating energy, becoming a wind generator in a hyper efficient way, like super like kind of Silicon Valley science stuff. But you know, that's the gist, is that they're pushing the envelopes, not just like saying, yeah, we'll sort of put some more batteries and we'll have it, you know, be a hybrid, but this is like off the charts, like truly game changing stuff. In the yacht business, in sustainability, that is really just in its infancy. And I really am, I guess I'm proud, or I commend all of these yacht manufacturers for really understanding how important it is to protect our oceans. You know, honestly, it's protect our oceans so we protect our market. You know, if the oceans are polluted, super yacht owners are not going to want to pay $600 million to sort of cruise through a trash gyre, you know? So people get that. And smart people are working on solutions that are not just good for the yachting industry, but just good for the planet in general. So it's kind of neat to be involved with stories like that, where often, and here's another thing that, I mean, maybe I'm preaching to the choir, but every once in a while, I'll have a friend of mine sort of say, you know, oh my God, those super yachts, they're so expensive. You know, how can you even sleep at night knowing that there's people that are, you know, hungry and, you know, don't have food and all that sort of stuff. And that's all true. But I think it's important to remember that, and this is kind of ties into, you know, the super yacht industry sort of leading the way in sustainable sort of yachting / I mean, who knows what that technology could take. But also the fact that the superyacht industry employs thousands of artisans and craftspeople and people who create the most amazing, exquisite furniture, art, yachts, you name it. What all of the people that are involved in the yacht industry are creating are these artisans that have jobs that probably wouldn't have jobs if there weren't some very wealthy people willing to sort of pay to have the ultimate, you know?
Well, and you know, you can even break that down to provisioning and you know,
totally.
There is such an entire industry onshore built around the yachts that wouldn't survive many small communities in the Caribbean, you know, the Balearic Islands, etc. These people thrive as a result of this industry.
Yeah, and I mean, I'd much rather have a super yacht with a guest list of 12 come into my little harbor than a cruise ship with a guest list of 5,000 pull in, you know, just from an economic impact and all that sort of stuff. So,
well, and sustainability as well. You know, when we go back to sustainability, the fact is the cruise ship is going to have much more impact in terms of feet on the ground and the garbage that is left behind, et cetera, et cetera, than a super yacht with 12 guests.
Right, right. Yeah, and I mean, just real quick. So I have been able to travel a little bit over this COVID time. I've been flying to the Bahamas. I live in Boston, but I've been flying to the Bahamas. I've been working with a guy down there, and it's all top secret stuff, so I can't tell you. But I flew over sort of South Florida, and I saw the 35 cruise ships that were just parked there because of COVID, you know? And the circumstances that make cruise ships a bad place to be during COVID haven't changed, even now that we're getting good in vaccines and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, the benefits of, or the benefits of yachting, super yachting in the COVID time is pretty obvious too. You know, the ability to, I mean, my guy was able to have his yachts. He was able to have his whole fleet down there, and they were in a true bubble. And able to do the cool stuff that they were able to do, thankfully, and very gratefully, they will even say, because they were able to sort of have their personal, their little quarantine unit, but in a beautiful, cool place with their family and friends.
Well, the U.S. did extremely well this past year throughout, you know, the quarantines around the world. The U.S. was having some stellar boat charters and as well sales.
Yeah, because the boats, they couldn't go back to the Met. So a lot of boats ended up in the U.S. And the U.S. political system, I don't know if you noticed, it was a little bit wackadoodle. I mean, you know, we seem to be getting back on track, but boy, oh boy, it's been a hell of a 4 years living here in the U.S. But that said, you know, still things were kind of crazy here. But, you know, there's been a lot. And there's a lot of American owners, too, that would have gone to the Met otherwise, but because of COVID have stayed here.
And this year, do you think that's going to continue? Is that going to happen again? Or do you see them making the crossing this year?
I don't know. I hope so. I mean, like I was saying before, I mean, I've got a date to go to the Monaco Grand Prix with the idea of doing a bunch of stories about the connection between super yachts and Formula One racing in Monaco, of course, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, personally, I'm tickled pink. I mean, I've been to Monaco a million times, but I've never been to the Monaco Grand Prix. And the stories that I have lined up for the different yacht manufacturers that have deals with Formula One teams and just the whole principality, there's a lot of really cool stuff there. However, and I've got everything's lined up, hotel, flights, all that sort of stuff, you know. But the question is, will I be able to actually get in, being an American flying into Nice? So we'll see. I don't know. I mean, the States have done a really good job. I'm getting my second vaccine tomorrow to be, you know, fully vaccinated. A lot of, you know, basically anybody can get a vaccine now here in the States, which is kind of amazing. But I know that's not the case in Europe and other places.
Well, so, you know what? The governments are, it's quite interesting because I do a travel show. And there is always ways to get where you want to go because the governments haven't closed all the loopholes. Like if you go from the US to somewhere else, for example, and then, you know, then fly on from there, you might be, it's crazy. It's crazy. They're not actually stopping anything because they haven't closed all the loopholes. And I don't know who's making the rules, but it's definitely not me.
Well, you know, that's really good to know. I mean, I'll have to look into it because maybe I have to even see what my flight is. Maybe I'm stopping somewhere else. I'm sure I am. I just don't know which country. So maybe we'll see.
I'll slip you an A after this interview.
Yeah, and we'll see with the yacht owners too, you know, because, we'll, you know, like part of the being in the Med is going out to the nightlife and all that sort of stuff. And will that stuff be switched on? I know the Bahamas here, you know, next to the States, they've been very lenient and very open about admitting yachts in and out even before things really started to loosen up. So we'll see.
Well, Bill, in the spirit of change makers, do you find that, you know, as you mentioned earlier, that the new generation of ultra high net worth individuals and the new generation of yacht owners are at a younger sort of age? Do you find that they're also having more of a social concept and change, that they're looking more towards being kinder to society as you know?
Yeah. You know, I would hope so. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I would hope so. To be honest, I mean, I wish I could sort of give you some definitive answer on that, but honestly, I don't know. You know, I mean, I think the draw of yachting and yachts is kind of the same throughout. You know, I mean, people want to escape the everyday. They want to escape from the world of whatever stress they need to be going through in order to make the money that they've made to afford the yacht. They want to escape all that stuff. And that goes from, you know, all the ages. Yeah, I'm not sure. It'll be interesting to sort of see, because we haven't been able to sort of see what's happening in the yachting world, really, apart from these individual nodes. And the individual nodes that I've been talking to and interviewing and working with, they've all been kind of like really nice people that want to get away from COVID with their family and friends, you know? So I can see that sort of continuing to be a trend. Whether people are going to be nicer or not, there's always going to be kind of really wealthy people that are really not nice to be around. I mean,
there's also going to be really not wealthy people that are just really not nice
exactly.
as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, we can count on them being there.
Yeah.
The question is, will there be more or less? I don't know. My guess is it's probably going to be kind of status quo. Because the desire of yachting is so universal.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at a super yacht as like the ultimate I've arrived, the ultimate, in a way, it's the ultimate goal for most people. They don't even know it's the ultimate goal, but like at the top of the pyramid, above a beach villa in Malibu, above a horse farm in Kentucky, above a whatever, there's the super yacht. That's like the alpha exclusive thing, you know? So I think that'll continue because it's a really fun thing, as you know.
Well, in the future, I mean, you've been doing this for a while. What do you see the trends are going to be, say, 10 years from now?
Well, I think what we were talking about earlier with the sustainability stuff, I'm really, really interested and fascinated and looking forward to what that will be. And I mean, I've been talking to some people, and this is really kind of prototype stuff. It's way down the line stuff. It's blue sky thinking. But I don't think it's beyond the realm, and you can quote me on this, where there's going to be it's a nuclear powered super yacht. And wow. I'm saying that it's almost kind of a controversial thing. You think nuclear power, you think crazy, you know, environmental hazards, radioactivity, all that sort of stuff. But the people that I've been talking to have been working on developing an entire new way. There's actually, I could bore you with some scientific details, but there's a lot of science and a lot of work going into developing nuclear power for the shipping world. You know, there's thousands of these container ships that are over 1,000 feet long. Yeah. I mean, talk about environmental impact. I mean, just think about the fuel that each one of these container ships burns. Anyway. So these guys are developing what they're kind of calling a nuclear battery, and it's a molten salt reactor. So instead of using uranium to power this nuclear reaction that creates basically an infinite amount of energy for free, except you get this waste at the end that no one's really figured out how to deal with healthy and successfully. So uranium is the best radioactive material to work with, like bombs and stuff, because it's so toxic.
Yeah.
But these guys are developing these nuclear batteries that are relatively small. They're like the size of a container that would sit on a container ship. Okay. And super high tech, and you know, all the software that's 21st century, that's burning thorium, which is more of a salt than a, you know, a horribly toxic uranium radioactivity thing. So anyway, mark my words, in 10 years, there may not be a nuclear powered super yacht, but there may be one on the drawing board, or there may be one in production, or you know, kind of, you know, in the pipeline, which I'd be kind of psyched to see, because the benefits, if they figure out how to make the power waste stuff, which they're working on, obviously,
yeah.
They make that sort of inert in a way, and this molten salt reactor does that. That could, talk about game changer. That is like earth changer.
Yeah, for sure. Because if they're doing it for yachts, I mean, what else can they use it for?
Well, I mean, this is the thing. It's like the yachts and, well, the commercial shipping and yachts are kind of interchangeable.
Yeah.
But that's exactly right. Like, that's we prove the yachts, that this works on ships. And what's so great about the ships is that there's an infinite amount of cooling water for these reactors that they need. Yeah. But Bill Gates and a lot of other really smart people have already come out and said how important this sort of thinking and this sort of development is to the health of the planet. So it's all kind of working along the surface or below the surface, but watch this space, because there could be some significant breakthroughs there.
Well, when there are, I'm going to be in touch.
Yeah, definitely. Please.
Thank you, Bill, ever so much for your time. I know that you are a very busy man, not only with Forbes, once again, Bill Springer, senior contributor at Forbes. And we didn't talk very much about Swizzle Sports Media, but I will provide the links if anybody is interested in checking that out. You do all sorts of media for yachting, cycling, fashion, and leadership development. So we'll make sure that people have the links for that as well.
And my Instagram, I generally post my Instagram is kind of like my sort of go-to thing. So all my stories kind of get sort of spread via Instagram and other channels. But if you want to check me out, it's Billy Swizzle at Billy Swizzle. And I'll leave you with this. So Billy Swizzle, the name came to me because that's like that's my rock star alter ego.
It does sound like a complete rock star name.
It's a totally complete rock star. And I was in a very bad band a long time ago, and that was my alter ego. And it's just sort of, it's worked
for
me.
Who hasn't been in a bad band?
Exactly.
I think I've been in one or two myself. So yeah, you're not alone. I think we've just dated ourselves with that for sure.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. We're old and wise.
That's right. I think. Well, old anyway.
Yes.
Thank you, Bill, very much for your time. It's very much appreciated.
Pleasure.
Ciao. Once again, you've been watching another edition of PYA Changemaker. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. Please tune in again for another episode.